It's time to get behind the mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley on KFAR Radio, promoting all of our incredible nonprofit organizations that truly make Fairbanks the Golden Heart City. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Good morning, Tananaw Valley. You are listening to Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tananaw Valley. I'm Kayla Smith, Executive Director of United Way, and today we are welcoming a new program to the show, one that honestly plays a critical role in supporting individuals, families, our entire community during moments of crisis. Joining me today, I have Liz and Courtney with the Fairbanks Mobile Crisis Team. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. Thank you. For those who are not too familiar, can you tell us a little bit about MCT and what you guys are all about?
Yeah, here in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, we have the Mobile Crisis Team. And so with that, we serve the entire borough, ranging in lots of different types of calls from those that are experiencing suicidal ideation, homicidal ideation, substance use issues, psychosis, as well as family disturbances. We also assist our community partners in next of kin notifications or scenes where maybe a loved one was deceased, as well as structure fires, domestic violence calls, things of that nature, as well as individuals experiencing maybe Alzheimer's or dementia, neurocognitive things like ADHD. It's really a whole spectrum of calls that we respond to here. And so we typically say it's not a no, it's a how. So if we can respond to it, we're going to figure out a way to help people out, even things as simple as food boxes, you know, helping with heating assistance, housing, those sorts of things. We're always just a phone call away and like to help our help people out in the community that may be experiencing crisis.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you've described a lot of different situations that some of these are emergency situations where, like, you'd think to call 911, mm-hmm. that'd be your go-to. So what is it that the Mobile Crisis Team does in lieu of those emergency services, or to complement, rather?
Yeah, so we really fill the gap, right, for calls that might not be appropriate for law enforcement, EMS, or fire, right? And so there's individuals calling 911 in the Fairbanks North Shore Borough every day, right, where maybe it would be more appropriate for the Mobile Crisis Team to respond. Mm-hmm. And that absolutely goes through the 911 system at Fairbanks Emergency Communications Center. They are the ones that dispatch us. And so we really come and fill those gaps for those calls.
How do dispatchers know when to, like, filter sending people to you, sending, you know, an officer out? Like,
that's a great question. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give a shout out to our dispatchers at the Fairbanks Emergency Communications Center, because they are wonderful, and they have to navigate that and figure out what the appropriate resource is. And they do a phenomenal job. You know, we trust them with quite literally our life, right, when we go to these calls. And so they run through their whole list of questions in their ProQA system to make sure that they are dispatching the appropriate resource. So there are times where we'll respond with law enforcement or EMS, or there are times where we'll go by ourselves. We're the only mobile crisis team in the entire state of Alaska that can go without police or EMS. So we'll go to calls by ourselves. And that's where we really rely on the dispatchers to make sure that it's safe, making sure there's maybe no weapons involved, those sorts of things, so that we're not putting ourselves in a dangerous situation. But they do a phenomenal job up there, and we really couldn't do our job without them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's a critical piece right there. And the teamwork that you guys have had to establish, and just the relationship and trust, you know, with your dispatch team, that's very important. That's very, very important. So, like, how did that relationship start out? This dynamic of needing this additional layer of support, not quite full blown police law enforcement, but help, like actual help. At what point was this created? Was Mobile Crisis Unit created?
Yeah, and that's another good question. This has really been like a national movement. You know, it's happening across the country. And so Fairbanks in Alaska was just another piece of that puzzle. And so it's modeled after the way other teams are running in the country, specifically Arizona, Colorado, where their mobile crisis teams are embedded within their 911 system, because there is a there's a platform where it could operate also through 988, which is the suicide hotline, but there's not those layers and components of assessing for safety and risk and those sorts of things. And so that's where here in Fairbanks and through our operators, which is Alaska Behavioral Health, they really decided to go through the 911. And so we are directly linked in with other first responders. You know, our calls are linked. We can see what each other is doing. We can communicate with one another. And that really creates like continuity of care, good care coordination, making sure everybody's on the same page and we show up to scenes. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows where we're at in case things do go sideways. And so that was just, it's modeled after other teams that are doing it around the country, and the way that it's been done to fidelity and has been proven to shown and work. So that's kind of where Fairbanks decided to do it that way as well.
Sure. Is there like, was there something that maybe happened that said that where the idea came from that like, hey, we don't need law enforcement to report to this situation. We could actually have a support liaison, if you will, you know, somebody else, not law enforcement. What's happening in those situations where people are questioning if, like, I need to call 911, but I don't think this isn't like, I don't need to get somebody arrested, but I need help here. Mm-hmm. What sort of situations could somebody find themselves in where that would be a contemplation for them?
Well, in a couple different areas too, like the reason for mobile crisis team is we were seeing, you know, high burnout amongst our firefighters and EMS personnel, police officers, but also this burden on our hospital systems and our prison systems of people, that being the only avenue for them to go to are those places. And so, you know, police officers and EMS are spending lots of time on scene with these individuals, and that's diverting away from other calls that may be more appropriate for police response, such as getting arrested or those sorts of things. And so it was figuring out that, like, okay, well, there's this other team that fits this gap where we can stay on scene for, you know, an extended period of time. We can arrive on scene and relieve police officers to go back to doing what they're doing, and we can stay on and navigate and get them resources and connected. We're also able to do follow-up care. We follow up within 24 to 48 hours is the first one. The second follow-up comes a week later from that first interaction, and then the third one comes 2 weeks after. And so that can look like a lot of different things, but then being able to get them those resources that they need. And so we've really seen that in our community partners who say, you know, how wonderful we are. You know, it's decreasing the burnout, the time on scene, all of those sorts of things. And so, and then you can speak to the second part of what the interaction looks like, why someone might call us on any given day.
What was the question, Kayla?
Yeah, just sort of why would somebody utilize the resource of the crisis center as opposed to a law enforcement?
Right. So, you know, when someone calls 911, it's really up to the dispatchers who gets dispatched. But let's say an individual does call 911 because they are having a panic attack, right? Like that is something that we come across often.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and for anyone who's experienced a panic attack, it feels very intense, it feels very real, and it feels like it does not feel good, right? And so that's just one example of an individual, right? And they call, they don't need medical attention. You know, it is not a medical emergency. It's not something that requires police. And so dispatch will go through that system and decide, right? Like, okay, mobile crisis team is the most appropriate response for this individual. Mm. We'll get dispatched and then make contact with the individual, right? That's kind of just like a broad stroke overview.
Sure. Okay. So now that makes sense. I understand. Like, almost like a mental health assist, like a, you know, if that were the situation going on, you don't necessarily need law or legal help or law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You know, that's almost a different that'd be like a different approach to coming into the situation. If you're coming from like a law enforcement, like, okay, I need to, you know, suppress what's happening or figure out what's going on and de-escalate the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And while you do have to do that with what your team does, the de-escalation, it's a different tactic, isn't it? It's a little bit different of an approach.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was exactly what I was just going to say is like, because our team is made up of licensed mental health clinicians, which is what Liz and I are, and then we also have our peer support specialists. So every shift for MCT is made up of two individuals. We work 24/7, 365, but we have that specialized training where we can come on scene and we can hold the space for the panic. We can hold the space for the trauma and the crisis. And then we have the tools and the skills to be able to help them navigate that, talk about what the next steps are going to look like. You know, distraction techniques, you know, all of those good things we learned in grad school, we can help kind of talk through that. And that's where, you know, EMS and paramedics maybe don't have that training. Our police officers, you know, they're trained in CIT, which is crisis intervention training, mm-hmm. but that they only take you so far, right? To have some of those skills that we've learned and acquired, I think, is where it's a relief to see us come on scene so that we can help people navigate through those next steps and through the trauma and the crises and the dysregulation. And that's where, you know, I think our team is unique in that, in helping people navigate that, because it's hard, you know, and assessing risk and being able to take the appropriate actions that maybe have to come next. And yeah, I think that's what makes us like unique and special in that way.
Yeah, a very valuable asset for sure, mm-hmm. for the not only the community and the people needing your support, but also the emergency services that you're supporting. Like you mm-hmm. said, you're giving that relief. Truly invaluable. So for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tanana Valley. I'm Kayla Smith, and today I'm visiting with Liz and Courtney from Fairbanks Mobile Crisis Team, talking about how they respond, how they support individuals experiencing behavior health crisis here in our community. So you kind of described a little bit about the follow-up and what happens after you've got this, you know, you want to make sure that you're following up after these initial responses. Mm-hmm. But that initial response, you know, you've got somebody who's called 911, dispatcher has determined that this is a crisis team, you know, mission, if you will. What does that look like on your team? So what does it look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So dispatch will either contact via phone call the clinician on call, or we have an app that they push information through, so they're able to give us kind of that information that's needed mm-hmm. regarding what we're responding to. And then it really depends, right? But let's say typical, right? We'll respond to the individual, make contact, introduce ourselves, right? We wear plain clothes. We don't have a uniform. Mm-hmm. Our vehicles are unmarked. And so we really want to respect people's autonomy and independence, right? And so oftentimes we do have individuals call of like, I don't want my neighbors knowing. I don't want, you know, yes. people in my neighborhood knowing, you know? And so we always give that reassurance of like, we are dressed just like we're going to Fred Meyer's, right? Like we are just dressed in plain professional clothes and our vehicles are unmarked. So we'll go and make contact with the individual or individuals on scene, right? Mm-hmm. And do that initial triage of what's going on here. You know, how can we help? What are some of these presenting concerns? And every call, right, is different. And so we really work together in a collaborative space with our peer that we're on the call with, but also with the individuals, you know, and what their presenting concern is and what maybe opportunities or limitations might prevent us from getting them in contact with certain resources. So, yeah, we kind of it just goes from there.
It just goes from there, right? It's what I can appreciate most, I think, is that it's not you guys aren't just responding to calls. You're really coming in with the support and with some assistance and that follow-up. That follow-up is I think really important, and I'm sure you all already know this, but it helps people know that they're not alone, mm-hmm. that they're not just mm-hmm. forgotten. You know, you've gone through something and you've been addressed and now, you know, it's over. No, you guys continue to follow up and make sure that people, you know, are able to maintain. So I think that's a wonderful thing. And as you mentioned, you know, connecting with resources, tell me a little bit more about those connections. We're going to jump to break in just a little bit, but I just want to know, you know, what are some of those crucial connections that you have in this community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're really invaluable. And, you know, to name a few, we have a really good connection with ADRC, the Aging and Disability Resource Center here in Fairbanks, along with the Fairbanks Senior Center. They've helped us a lot in getting resources to our elderly senior population, as well as those with disabilities, as well as through our operating agency, Alaska Behavioral Health. We've got a lot of really good connections with them. If you have an encounter with the mobile crisis team, you are guaranteed a med management appointment with one of the medical providers at Alaska Behavioral Health within 24 hours. You're also guaranteed either a walk-in or scheduled appointment with a mental health counselor at Alaska Behavioral Health when you have an encounter with the mobile crisis team. And then, you know, there's just such great programs. There's also the partial hospitalization program for children at Alaska Behavioral Health that we can help make referrals to and phone calls and get people connected and make sure they're getting in the door, as well as the TAMRAC, our residential facility here in Fairbanks, which is also through Alaska Behavioral Health. But then, you know, we partner with the Rescue Mission. We've got a great relationship with them, whether we're bringing people to them to stay there or they're calling us to help out an individual that's staying with them, as well as the Fairbanks Center for Nonviolent Living. We work with them a lot.
Yes.
As well as, you know, the Fairbanks Police Department, the Alaska State Troopers, all of the different fire departments in the borough. We serve the whole borough, like I mentioned, so... You know, we've got lots of community partners in every different corner, and so we all work together. I'm sure there's some resources I'm missing. Am I missing any, Liz?
You know, just giving a shout out to the food bank for helping individuals that might not have access to food. You know, that's definitely a place that we've called often to just help individuals get connected. You know, and we're just so appreciative to all the community partners that have received calls from Mobile Crisis, right? And they go the extra mile to really help us help that individual that we're responding to. And so we're always so grateful when community partners are also willing to show up in that manner and are like, yep, we can figure this out. Yes. Like, bring them on by, or like, let me know what's going on and I'm happy to help, right? And so we're so appreciative, you know, when the community comes together in that way.
Yes. Yeah. That shared passion for our community, for supporting our community. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. And it's very important work. This is all very important work. Everybody connected, all of the resources that you have and that you use and that you share. It's fantastic. So, thank you again. If this is the first time you're tuning in, just to let you know, you are listening to Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tanana Valley. I'm Kayla Smith here today with Liz and Courtney from the Fairbanks Mobile Crisis Team. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how the community can better understand and support this work and what people should know before they find themselves in a crisis situation. So stay with us. We will be right back.
Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. We'll continue after this short break on KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
The United Way of the Tanana Valley's mission is to improve the lives of every person by mobilizing the caring power of our community. We inspire others to join us in supporting our local nonprofits that serve our friends and neighbors by providing life-changing services here in Interior Alaska. To learn more about how you can give, advocate, and volunteer with us, please contact our office at 907-452-7211 or go to our website at unitedwaytananavalley.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today, from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with the United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekend just got local with KFAR Radio. Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Welcome, welcome back, Tanana Valley. We are Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tanana Valley. I'm Kayla Smith, and today we're talking with Liz and Courtney from the Fairbanks Mobile Crisis Team. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about how this team responds to behavioral health crisis and provides support to individuals and families here in our community, serving as a bit of a liaison, another option when you have an emergency situation, a crisis situation, and you're not sure what to do. You can always call 911, of course. And if it's not if you don't necessarily need police assistance, mobile crisis team is available to come and help with behavioral situations and emotional support situations that that you deem as a crisis, that you're in a personal situation here. So again, thanks, ladies, so much for being here with me and chatting about your mission. Tell me a little bit about how you guys got started. We got a whole lot of information about why you all exist, but how did you get started? When did you get started?
Yeah, good question. We have been in operation for the last 5 years, and so our funding comes from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and so they are our funders, and then our operators are Alaska Behavioral Health, so they have the grant and do all of our operating through that. We're only in a one-year grant cycle, so we have to renew our grant every single year and go back to them with all of our data and what we've been doing and continue to ask for funding. But we trust in the trust yes. and the work that we're doing in the community, and so we're really proud of that. But when we over the last 5 years, we have grown and we've expanded and we're doing lots of different things. And so when Liz and I started on the team, we know here in Fairbanks and in the community, in the borough, that these crises are happening. But we were having a hard time getting these calls to us. Yes. And so we were wondering, how do we get these calls? Where's the cog in the wheel, if you will? And so we went to the drawing board, and in the last couple of years, we've done a lot of outreach. We've gone to all of the fire departments. We've spoken at different classes up at UAF and gone to conferences and different speaking events and really tried to get mobile crisis team out there and what we're doing. And we've seen that pay off. In 2025, we did 1,319 calls.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It was a lot of calls. Yes. Just in the month of December alone, we did 175.
Wow.
So it was a busy month. And when we went back and looked at that data, 98.5% of those calls were resolved without EMS or police. So we as the mobile crisis team resolved them in the community or with other resources, but they did not involve, EMS or police. And then only 145 of those calls resulted in hospitalization or us bringing someone to the hospital. So that's another piece of the mobile crisis team, is we really work to stabilize in the community.
Yes.
Rather than having to go to the hospital and divert them away from those sorts of resources unless they're necessary. But we've really grown and expanded, especially in the last year and a half or so. And, the numbers have shown that. We have an MOU signed with the Alaska State Troopers now.
Okay.
So while they have to dispatch us through FECC still, their troopers can request us, or people can call the troopers and they'll just pass that call over to FECC. And then we're dispatched into Alaska State Trooper jurisdiction. And so those are some of the ways that we've expanded and what our history looks like. We hear different myths or misconceptions about the mobile crisis team and who we serve and where we serve. And so we're here to kind of correct some of those things, just because we have grown. When it first started, we only served in the city limits. And so now we serve the whole borough.
Wow. Yes.
And as our community partners have, grown and expand, like I said at the beginning, it's never a no, it's a how. And so we will always figure out how to help when we need to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and serving the entire borough, that's a large stretch of land there. Do you guys have partners out in your outskirts, or do you, that will go in on your dispatches, or do you all come out of Fairbanks?
Nope, it's just us. Just our team of two.
Yes.
That's on shift that day. We'll go.
Oh, I see. That's right. It's just the two on shift, and that's who's responding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go from Esther to Salcha to up the Stees, just all over the place.
Over 1,000 in a year. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's 1,000 less police officers having to show up or spend the time. And it's, and I say it like that because our resources are spread so thin with our law enforcement and our EMS. So again, just a vital piece to the community puzzle here. I think that's amazing. If I have a friend or family member or somebody or even myself going mm-hmm. through something and, you know, I'm not sure what to do, how do I reach you? How do I get a hold of you?
You know, we always tell people, call 911, right? Easy to remember. We've been told that since we were children, call 911, right? And let the dispatcher kind of decide through their system of the best response, right? But calling 911, you know, sometimes we'll also, if an individual feels like, well, it's not an emergency, you know, I'm just worried about a loved one, and I'm hoping to just talk with the mobile crisis team to help me figure out some of the next steps, right? We also encourage people, they can call the non-emergency number at Fairbanks Emergency Communication Center, which is 907-459-6800, and also request to talk with the mobile crisis team.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible, because sometimes people just need that support. Yeah. They just need to have somebody to talk through this situation and figure out, you know, how do I help this person? How do I help my loved one? You know?
Yeah.
So that's incredible. So that phone number one more time is 907-459-6800. And then you can also navigate on over to their website, crisisnow.com, for some more information and how you can reach your team. But again, 911 is the best default
yes.
here, because truly
mm-hmm.
dispatch is going to have the questions. They're going to know what to ask. They're going to know how to probe to gauge the severity of the crisis. And I think it's wonderful that it's that you all are there to support. So people, even when if an officer is not necessarily required, people are not just left to their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
They do have your team to assist them through the processing of, you know, whatever situation they're going through, which is incredible. Absolutely
yeah.
wonderful. Thank you. And, you know, a lot of, like I was mentioning, a lot of these situations can feel overwhelming, and just knowing what to do can make a huge difference. Are there resources or education opportunities available for people who maybe want to better understand how to respond to a crisis situation?
I think so. There was actually just a training in the community just a couple weeks ago that was called Mental Health First Aid. And so that is a great tool.
Yes.
You know, it gives you some of those kind of bare bones of how you might respond to somebody that's in crisis, or even just to recognize, oh, these are the symptoms of crisis,
recognizing signs.
And these might be mm-hmm. someone that is struggling. That's probably the best one. You also can ask Liz and I, and we are always happy to be a resource and give trainings and those sorts of things. We've gone out to Eielson, and we did I don't know if I'd call it a training, presentation on crisis intervention skills, crisis negotiation skills, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
As well as up at UAF, we did them. And so, you know, Liz and I are passionate about the work we do and have a hard
yes.
time saying no. And so we're always happy to do some of those presentations or trainings and things of that nature, because it is so unique. It does look a little bit different, and how to recognize it and what are some of the tools that you can use until maybe help arrives to give you some relief.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I appreciate your resource very much. You know, you help sort of buffer the stigma on mental health and what crisis is, and that it's not just, you know, it's not about a legality thing. This is about people and supporting people
mm-hmm.
when they're at their rawest moment, and
mm-hmm.
getting them the resources and, you know, whether it's food resource or something like that's the greatest thing, is that it's about connections and what resources are available to help people, because there really are so many resources in this community. No matter what you're going through, somebody is out there and able to help, or willing to help you try
yeah.
to figure things out. So, Liz, Courtney, I want to thank you both very much for being here today. And if there was one important thing that you would like the community to remember about your organization, what would this final statement be? If there was something you'd like us to know, what do you want us to know?
Just call, you know, like, I know that's probably cliche, but, you know, there's so many times where we question ourselves, right? Like, and Liz and I do it. Did I do the right thing? What do I do here? Should I have done this? Could I have done that? What could have been better? You know, all of these things run through our head, and they run through our head too. And we have the training And so when in doubt, you know, just reach out and ask for help, ask for support. And if we can't find you or we don't know the answer, we'll find you the answer. You know, we have great connections. There's wonderful people in the community, resources. And so we'll help people navigate it. We know living in this community can be hard at times, especially this last winter. And just knowing that you're not alone, there's good people here that want to help you and help navigate it. And mobile crisis team is just, it's a piece of the puzzle. You know, it's not the whole puzzle, but it's kind of that entry point and that first starting piece that can really get you connected to a lot of different resources.
Yes, I think that's perfect. Just call. So number again, 907-459-6800, or you can head online to crisisnow.com. But again, Liz, Courtney, thank you both for coming through. Thank you for everything that you do for our community. I am Kayla Smith, Executive Director of United Way of the Tanana Valley, and today we've been visiting with the Mobile Crisis Team. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning into Behind the Mission. Until next time, this has been Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tanana Valley, where we highlight the people and partnerships working to make the Tanana Valley stronger. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Take care.
You have been listening to Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. To listen back to this or any of our other local programs, simply click on the archives page at kfarradio.com. Behind the Mission has been a presentation of the United Way and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.